This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 AM WBNW.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, welcome, welcome. Great to have you with us as we move along into the summer. We actually have a theme for today's show. It'll be how to overcome negative circumstances in business. And later on, joining us to talk about it will be Antonio Garcia Martinez. The book is Chaos Monkeys, Obscene Fortune, and Random Failure in Silicon Valley. But for something that's probably more identifiable for a much larger audience, joining us to open up here is Garrett Sutton. He is a best-selling author. He's an attorney, and some of his books have been Start Your Own Corporation, Loopholes of Real Estate, and Finance Your Own Business. He has a brand-new book out, and it's called Toxic Client, Knowing and Avoiding Problem Customers. I just had a little chat with Garrett before we came on. And it is published in paperback. You can get a copy of it. I'm stalling here to look for the publisher. Who's the publisher, Garrett?
Success DNA, Stu.
All right, Success DNA. Hey, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you on, and it's nice to know I don't deal with toxic clients anymore.
Good for you, Stu. Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, this is an important subject, and tell us first of all an overview of the book. What led you to write it?
Well, Stu, I'm a corporate attorney, and I set up corporations and LLCs for people around the country. And one of the reasons you set up an entity is to protect yourself from frivolous or vexatious claims. And in talking to my clients, I learned that a number of them deal with toxic clients. This is a common problem that all business owners face. And in listening to the stories from my clients, I thought this makes a good book. This is good information for any business owner or entrepreneur to understand, because a run of toxic clients can really threaten your business.
It doesn't even take a run. All it can take is one or two, and I speak from personal experience. It didn't ruin my business, but there were conditions of duress having up to 35 people working for me. And as I told you, I'm so thankful I'm out of that. I love what I do right now. And you've got internal problems. You've got employees who perhaps don't live up to the expectations. You know, everybody's resume looks good. And in my particular case, I was spending much too much of my time chasing toxic clients, chasing their money until I couldn't stand it anymore. I was far more effective than collection agencies. But it was like being a trial attorney. You know, every day it took its wear on me. What did you find were the biggest problems?
Well, so you know, the biggest problems are the people that refuse to pay. And we talk about strategies for setting up retainers and deposits and doing your own due diligence on people to make sure you're dealing with someone who's reputable. But you also have those clients who will, you know, insult or threaten employees. And, you know, it can really drain the morale of your company to have these toxic clients interacting with your employees. And as a business owner, you need to stand by your employees. For me, there's not any one client that is more important than my staff. And so, you know, you just need to be able to back up your staff, identify a toxic client, and avoid them altogether. And that, those are the strategies we talk about in the book.
So how do you go about this? I mean, there's no foolproof way to do it. And, hey, let me give an example. It's a bad example, but it just popped into my head with everything going on about Jim Comey and the FBI and trying to explain his position. But the one thing we can't do, we can listen to explanations, whether they're rational or not. We can never get into someone's head. You know, all the right signs can be there. How do you go about spotting the signs? How do you make that determination? Because, you know, in this particular case, if you make the one mistake of hiring the wrong person or having a client, the expense can be exorbitant.
You're absolutely right, Stu. And, you know, you need to develop the instincts to identify not only a toxic client, but a toxic employee. And so many of our stories relate to people who have been in business for a while and have been able to develop that instinct. Well, as you're new in business, you need to realize that not every customer is a good customer. You don't have to take every person that walks in the door. And so how do we identify these people up front? Well, part of one of the things I talk about is active listening. You know, when we listen to people, too often we're looking at texts, we're answering emails, we're thinking what next to say, and you really need to focus on what that person is saying and evaluate what they're saying and pay attention to their body language. A lot of times the body language will let you know that these people are not going to treat you ethically later. So we just need to develop these early warning signs that will identify a toxic client and then not be afraid to say no to that person. You know, we're always trained to take whatever walks in the door. We shouldn't. We should be able to say no and know that another good client is coming your way.
Yeah, and I look to somebody who has personified that in his book, Winning, who's been a guest on this show, Jack Welch, with a 70-20-10 differentiation. You know, be upfront. It'll save a lot of aggravation later on. Garrett, I was, as you're talking about this and talking about vetting people, several years ago, I was asked during dinner by the acting dean of a major university in this country what he suggested for advice before he took part in the process of hiring a permanent dean. And I won't go into a long explanation here, but basically I gave him two pointers. One was, since we find that universities are predominantly liberal in this country, that you find someone who is balanced and doesn't have a bias or a prejudice. If you can do that, we all do, but you do the best you can. The other thing, get them out on a golf course. Get her out on a golf course. Break down the barriers. Boy, you'd be surprised what people will say when they're relaxed. Any comments on that?
I think that's a good strategy. I think, you know, taking yourself out of the formal meeting in a conference room and getting to know someone outside of that context. And the way people play games will tell you a lot about how they will act as an individual within an organization. So I think observing people outside the traditional business context is a great idea.
Joining us is Garrett Sutton. He is the author of Toxic Client, Knowing and Avoiding Problem Customers. Garrett, the more I think about this book, the more I think about its viability, not only for businesses of all size, but also in our personal lives. Have you had that slant on it at all? Shouldn't get involved with, and I don't.
I have, Stu. People have come up to me, or I've spoken with people who say, you know, this relates to life as well as business. You know, people... We do have toxic personalities out there. You know, we have the narcissistic person, the entitled person, the bully, the manipulator. They present themselves not only in our business lives, but in our personal lives as well. So it does cross over a number of different arenas.
Garrett, one of the other things in kind of a telling thing for me, and I'm, you know, having been in business a lot of years, I'm aware of it. You know, people may define it as let me pick your brain. Well, it's let me take your time that is worth money and get some free advice, perhaps with the promise of doing something later on. Just a hypothetical example here. If it were I would say, I know I've got a whole bunch of questions to ask you, and I'd be more than willing to pay for the time. That sends out a really positive sign to do it that way, but that's not the way you see it in business all the time.
No, you certainly don't. We deal with it on a daily basis where people, you know, want to call up and get legal advice. We provide them with a quick consult with a paralegal about what we can do for setting up a corporation or an LLC. But if they want to get on the phone with me, they've got to pay a fee. I'm not going to get on the phone with everybody. And again, starting out, you have to know that these people are coming at you for and wanting free advice, and you need to be able to say no to that. And, you know, be able to get paid for your time.
We are coming up on a break. Can you hang around till after
sure.
the break? Because I'd love you to come back and talk
sure.
about some examples, either on the basis of, as you say in the book, fictionalized case studies or even your own personal stories, which I think will be illustrative and revealing to a lot of people. Are you able to stick around?
Sure.
All right. We're going to take a break. Again, the name of the book, Toxic Client. Knowing and avoiding problem customers. We all deal with this. This is Stu Taylor. Oh, by the way, don't send me a bill for the time after the interview. All right, here we go. Take a break.
Summer fun? Canopy Lake Park has it all, with over 85.
Napa know-how!
Napa's celebrating the most important things we can think of. America, racing, and freedom. By giving you a free patriotic racing cap for spending $25 at Napa. And for every hat given away, we'll donate a dollar to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. Help us celebrate America, racing, and freedom with a free Napa patriotic racing cap. That's Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 7/31/16.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Hello, this is Brian Tracy, and I've just done an interview with Stu Taylor, who is one of the smartest, most articulate, and insightful interviewers I've ever had the pleasure to talk to. It's just been wonderful being on his show, and I can't wait to be on his show again and again in the future.
All right, the great Tony Bennett, always a pleasure to listen to, still going strong in his 80s. And someone younger than Tony Bennett is joining us today, Garrett Sutton. He's the author of Toxic Client, Knowing and Avoiding Problem Customers. There's no perfect system, but there are ways to make life a lot easier. It's published by Success DNA, and he's back joining us. And Garrett, a lot of curiosity about some examples in the book and some of your own personal stories that would perhaps reflect what you talk about.
Sure. Well, we have a number of stories based on, you know, true events or a combination, amalgamation of true events. For example, I interviewed a dermatologist, and she was booked 6 weeks out, and someone calls in, and when faced with the information that they couldn't get in immediately, the person just goes off on the receptionist. It has, you know, expletives and just awful language. And this is someone who hasn't even been a client yet. And so in a situation like that, you know that it's not going to get any better with this client. So in this case, they decided not to take this person on. They, you know, they're polite. You never match anger with anger. You're always professional when dealing with a toxic client, but you, in that situation, they suggested that they find someone else, that there are other dermatologists in town. But, you know, if someone's acting that way right at the start, you can count on it not getting any better. And so it's best to not even let those people in the door.
Oh, and you got an example or two from your own background?
Yes. You know, I provide people with asset protection advice. And we talk to people about how to structure their affairs, how to use corporations and LLCs. And as I mentioned earlier, I'll get on the phone with people, and a half-hour consult is $175. So we get them to pay up front. And this lady wanted advice on asset protection. But as I got into the call with her, she wanted to find out how to cheat the IRS. And I said, you know, I don't do that. I think people need to pay their taxes. There's certainly ways to minimize your taxes, but I'm not going to give you advice on how to cheat the IRS. And, you know, she goes, well, what attorney can I talk to? And I said, well, you better call Saul. And, you know, meaning Saul Goodman off the TV show, Breaking Bad. But, you know, she just didn't find any humor in that. And she called back the next day. And demanded a refund because I wouldn't tell her how to cheat the IRS.
Oh, man, that's amazing. And I can understand someone calling up and saying, look, are there any legal loopholes I can use to pay less taxes? Because you know what they're saying? What they're saying is, tell me how to cheat someone else. And if the situation ever arises and you and I are in a relationship, I'm going to cheat you, too.
very good point, Stu. And these people are going to try and figure out a way to skate through, and they're going to cheat you next. You're absolutely right.
How about, and boy, we see a lot of liars. We've seen one being talked about more than anything in the past day or two, no matter what your political position is, certainly more reflective. But I think a kind of a troubleshooting freelance conversation in a and I don't want to be repetitive, but in a relaxed situation, if you listen carefully, you can see the telltale signs. What do you recommend to do in terms of spotting them and dealing with them?
Well, again, I find body language very important. If people are constantly blinking or touching their
face. Like they do at the airport in Israel. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and so I certainly listen. Again, it's active listening. I listen and watch and learn from what they're saying. You have to read between the lines. And it takes a while to develop that skill. But if you're starting out, just know that not everybody that is coming to see you is an ethical person. There are a lot of ethically challenged people out there, and you just have to, ban naivete from your office and be, somewhat hard-nosed about these people. We talk about in the book, there's an old German proverb that says mistrust carries one much further than trust. And so you have to have a healthy skepticism about things when you're conducting business.
Garrett, one of the realisms of this is how to leave someone who's discontent, who's angry, and how to get them to depart, and if not happy, certainly under circumstances that allow them not to spread bad news. Because you know, when did you stop beating your wife? As soon as you make incriminating statements against anyone or a company, you start to take heed before you know what this garbage spreads. Is there a formula for that, or is that just too unrealistic?
No, Stu, that's a very good question. How do you deal with angry clients? My strategy has always been to let them vent. Let that anger get out of their system. And then identify ways in which you can help them if you can. I mean, in some cases, you can't help them. But by letting them vent and letting the bubble deflate, then they're going to be a little bit more easy to work with. And, one of the things you have to find out, Stu, is did your staff cause the problem to begin with? Are these people legitimately angry? There could be cases where their anger is certainly justified. And so by allowing the person to vent, you can see what the problem is. And just by listening, a lot of people will feel much better. If the business owner is willing to listen to them, then they feel much better about your services and your ability to resolve things. Now, if that anger is unreasonable and unjustified, you attempt to let them vent and solve it. But in some cases, you're not going to be able to solve it. And you just have to move on. And like you say, negative word of mouth travels much more quickly and faster than positive word of mouth. And in some cases, you're just going to have to live with that. But I think by letting people vent, you will prevent that from happening.
This is such an important component of how you conduct yourself in your personal life and your business life. If you want to be effective as opposed to sometimes efficient. I'll take effectiveness over efficiency every day, although I always strive for both. In regard to that statement, talk about how you apply the 80-20 rule in business from your work.
Well, the 80-20 rule says that, 80% of a company's profits come from 20% of its customers, but we also mention that 80% of a company's problems come from 20% of its customers. So, you have to be able to identify who those problem customers are, and if you can solve their problems, great. But in many cases, you'll never be able to solve them. These people are angry, they are spiteful, and you're just going to have to let them go.
All right. Love chatting with you, as I'm sure our audience did. Stick around just for a moment after we sign off here. Garrett Sutton, Toxic Client, Knowing and Avoiding Problem Customers. This is Stu Taylor.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute, free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more.
And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Stories of the Legal Exchange, Sundays 2 to 3, AM 1120, WBNW.
Hi, I'm Harvey McKay, and author of Swim with the Sharks Without Being Eaten Alive. I can't thank you enough, Stu. The interview, I didn't like it. I loved it. And I love the way you change lives. I love the way you prepare to win, the way you do your homework. I like to surround myself with winners, and really look forward to having dinner with you in Boston very, very soon. Best of luck to you.
Our guardian star lost all his glow.
All right, we're back, and keeping with today's theme, joining us right now is Antonio Garcia Martinez. The book, Chaos Monkeys, Obscene Fortune and Random Failure in Silicon Valley. Love the title, love the book. It's published in hardcover by Harper, and Antonio has been an advisor to Twitter, a product manager for Facebook, and CEO, founder of AdGrok. That was a venture backed startup acquired by Twitter, and a strategist for Goldman Sachs. He's here to join us right now. Antonio, it's nice to have you with us, revealing some of the great secrets of Silicon Valley.
Thank you, Stu, for having me.
First of all, I'd like you to dive into your background, which was the genesis for the book. And I think what it does is add tremendous credibility to what you have written based upon what you have accomplished. So if you can just get on the couch, lie down, and tell us a little about how all this evolved.
Yeah, so it's really two books in one. The first half is the story of me and two guys founding a small startup, getting it funded by Silicon Valley's sort of most famous and prestigious accelerator, running for about a year and having basically everything that can possibly go wrong with a startup go wrong. Not raising money, raising money, founder issues, getting sued, etc. And then in sort of a weird deal, that's one of the high points of the book, the company and everyone else gets acquired by Twitter, but I actually kind of sort of bail on it for weird reasons and go to Facebook instead. And at Facebook, I sort of have front row seats on a sort of transformational period in that company's history. It was a year before the IPO when it was still, to some degree, kind of a chaotic, scrappy startup, where you could do things like brew beer illegally on campus, blow up the plumbing, and flood Mark Zuckerberg's desk, which I did, and I recount in the book in a footnote. And to where it transitioned into sort of a big company with a lot of politics and, sort of a very different thing. And that was my two-year period there, where I built a lot of the ad product that your listeners or Facebook users have probably been exposed to, for better or worse. If you go browsing around the internet, for example, shopping for whatever, and you see those products or products like them inside Facebook, I actually built that.
Congratulations. And I think what you talk about is something that's kind of the envy of everyone out there thinking, I wish I had, I wish I did. That, you know, you can screw up, you can get a raw deal, you can run into elements in the business, and you could still leave and walk away with enough to retire for life. I know that's not the case everywhere, but that seems to be the perception. Come up with a great idea, and whether it's if it's not proven, with all the money that companies like Google and Facebook have, I mean, they're just liable to gobble it up, and you're all set. Accurate or inaccurate?
Somewhat accurate. I mean, I don't know that I can just walk away and live a completely retired life for the rest of my life. But it is true that in times like Facebook, right? I mean, I joined when the stock was unofficially sort of roughly $25-$30, and nowadays it's whatever it is, over 100. I mean, it is the case that a lot of people made a lot of money pretty fast. I mean, the big fortunes, frankly, were made. I was relatively late at Facebook. I mean, relatively, right? I was still before the IPO. But the people who really made sort of vast fortunes at very young ages were actually sort of the generation before me, which I list in the book. And, dealing with their sort of aristocratic sense of entitlement inside the company was sort of one of the themes, actually. But in any case, yeah, I mean, it's a dynamic world. It's the new, you know, Wild West. It's the new gold rush, if you want to call it that. And there's certainly a lot going on. I think, you know, one of the things to stress, though, one of the weird things with Silicon Valley is that the difference in outcome between getting the deal and not, or someone reading your blog post, which turns into an acquisition, which is what actually happened with Agref, by the way, or not, you know, is literally zero outcome versus potentially, you know, single-digit millions or even tens of millions or even more. It really is this sort of really weirdly winner-take-all society. And, it, you know, it's hard to claim that it's frankly fair, but, you know, there it is. That's the reality of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this, and just to make it succinct, in the interest of not having a lot of time, I look at Silicon Valley. In one sense, you talk about it in the book, at this dysfunctional environment with disruptive technology. How do you put the two of those together?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the mind of people in Silicon Valley, those two go together, and so they excuse their dysfunctions by saying, "Well, we're going against the grain of society in all regards. We're not just undermining the taxi industry, we're also changing the way your relationship to work, right, and what the office culture is like." I think often that dysfunction, and you know, I'm not quite sure exactly what flavor dysfunction is so much in the book you're referring to, but you know, it's clear that you get very young people who are maybe somewhat socially maladjusted, who spurn all convention, right, and you put them in a room and try to set up some sort of management organization with a lot of money and ego at stake, and you often breed monsters, right? Of course, it's not all negative, as I quote in the book, and it's funny because everyone reads it kind of two ways. I describe Facebook as a cult in a way, right? And I even liken it to some degree to dictatorships like North Korea or Cuba, right? You have this sort of all-consuming culture. There's a great leader. There's posters on the wall with values that everyone actually takes seriously. Everyone dresses the same. I mean, it does feel like some sort of weird totalitarian dictatorship. On the other hand, you know, Facebook has done some amazing things, right? And that motivates people in a way that money alone just wouldn't do. And so, I think it's up to every reader if they read it and think, well, that's a great thing or that's a bad thing. I mean, I think it's kind of both at once.
Well, I mean, isn't it kind of looking at Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg, and I hate to lump them into the same bowl here, but symbolic of what's good in Silicon Valley while at the same time symbolic of what's bad?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's either side of the same coin. I think that's fair, yeah.
All right. Joining us, fabulously interesting book, Antonio Garcia Martinez. The book is Chaos Monkeys. When you think of companies getting funded and it's been a metamorphosis like everything else in life, everything is transitional. How has that changed today in terms of venture capital being pumped in there? I mean, you see a whole different paradigm today, and we're thinking, and you can certainly elaborate on this within the context of your answer. Examples here that Harvard Business School will be showing and teaching for years: Uber and Airbnb, huge successes, which has kind of uprooted the whole cultural aspect of how we live today.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to compare the present day to the past because, you know, the first bubble, I was in the Bay Area, but I was a grad student at Berkeley, so I only saw it sort of from afar. Of course, I've consumed the few Silicon Valley memoirs before mine, so I have some notion of what the world was like before. I think the sort of novel thing, and my book catches the beginning of this, and we're in this right now, sort of full throttle. The level of power that the entrepreneur actually has now, right? I mean, back in the day, an entrepreneur would sort of go begging to a VC, right, for a lot of money and usually get rejected. And the VCs had a huge amount of power. They wrote what are called term sheets, which are the contracts that often disfavored the entrepreneur in a huge way. Entrepreneurs would get screwed, et cetera. The way things are now, you know, there's so much money chasing relatively few ideas and relatively few good people to execute them that a good entrepreneur that had gone through a program like mine, I went through a program called Y Combinator, which, again, was sort of the prestigious Silicon Valley accelerator. If you actually get through that program with, you know, an intact company, with an actual ship product, with founders who are still talking to each other, it's not guaranteed, but you have basically a 90% probability of raising, you know, whatever it is, 500K to a million on a valuation of, you know, 10-ish million to go out and do it, right? And that's a level of assumption of just like, yeah, of course I'm going to be able to fund my sort of business experiment that I don't think existed in the past. And you see that all throughout the cycle, right? You've got the seed stage, which is the sort of initial stage that I got through, and you see it at Series A, Series B. I mean, you have founders who raise on what are called secondaries, and what that means is, you know, they're raising a larger amount of money later, And rather than actually diluting themselves, i.e. selling stock from the corporate treasury, they sell their own shares. And so people are getting liquidity, i.e. I'm to some degree cashing out. And the company's only 12 months old, and we're not even within, you know, the remote side of an IPO. Just, again, to give you an idea of how much power versus investors, entrepreneurs really have now. So I think it's a very changed landscape than I think what it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that that ultimate dream to, you know, to get a startup going and then turn around and flip it or to sell it. We're coming up on a break, and I'll ask you to stay till after the break. I want to get some insights, or I want us to get some insights on Mark Zuckerberg, what makes someone like that tick and who else is similar in the business. But you know, your experience, and this isn't directly related to the book, but certainly with what you talk about in Silicon Valley and having worked at Goldman Sachs, I'm sure you saw the movie Boiler Room. Any connection?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. As I cite in the book, when the company was sort of being interviewed and checked out by both Facebook and Twitter, the thing that struck me about Facebook is that it seemed very similar to Goldman at several levels. At one level, you know, it might sound.
All right. We're going to have to get the remainder of this answer after the break. We'll be back right after these messages.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-439-MYTV. That's 1-877-439-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call 877-439-MYTV. That's 1-877-439-MYTV.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea
idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
BizTalkRadio.com.
You're locked into Money Matters Radio, 1120 AM WBNW.
This is Steve Forbes, chairman of Forbes Magazine and Forbes Media. You can't do any better in the morning than starting with Stu Taylor. He'll give you what you need to get through the day and prosper in the future.
All right, we're rejoined by Antonio Garcia Mateos, Monkeys Obscene Fortune and Random Failure in Silicon Valley. I think a book everyone in the industry should read. Poor timing on my part, asking an elongated question and then not letting you answer it sufficiently. I brought up the issue of the boiler room, and you jumped on that, talking about the similarities between perhaps Wall Street, in your case, Goldman Sachs, and some of the industries in Silicon Valley. So I'll kind of let you summarize and complete that.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it's weird because they're different industries, but they're both the best at what they do. And what I found was similar is that at both Goldman and at Facebook, the employees, there was a set of values that they took very seriously, and that actually motivated their sort of everyday work in a very real way. The other way is a little bit more cynical. You know, they're both sort of incumbents in their field, and they both try to maintain effectively a monopoly on information and don't deal very well with partners. And so in some sense, that was the ugly side of the coin, which is that they sort of definitely try to keep themselves on top by whatever means possible.
Genius is measured by many facets, many components. So I guess I'm sure you can put Mark Zuckerberg into that group. Talk about a little about him and the insight into what he's really like, what makes him tick. And then let me know if, or let our audience know if in other companies you talk about, if there's kind of a common thread in their huge success.
Yeah. So Zuck, I mean, I can't say that I knew him deeply well. I worked a lot closer with Cheryl than I did with Mark, because Cheryl sort of unofficially ran ads and she was very involved with the story. But no, I was somewhat involved with Zuckerberg in a few product meetings. And obviously his personality just colored the entire culture. You know, I call him a genius in the book and in the piece that was excerpted in Vanity Fair. And what I mean by that is not that he's necessarily some brilliant mind in the sense of being the world's best programmer. I think he's a genius in the sense that he's a force of nature, that he's created this company culture in which very bright, very motivated people can flourish and feel fulfilled and can sit there and work for years. A lot of the early employees and senior management of Facebook, people who are worth a lot of money right now, still choose to work. and for the sake of the Facebook mission. And part of that inspiration comes directly from Zuckerberg, I think. And I, you know, there's a famous Valley VC who says every successful startup seems like a cult. And in some sense, I think that's true. To get to your point about, like, is that a common phenomenon? I think that's probably the case at companies like Apple and Google as well. They have to be cults to succeed, and every cult has a prophet, and that's the founder CEO.
You've continued to have a lot of experience in this industry, and we see a transformation, a metamorphosis, hypermetabolic changes at such a rapid rate, it's almost impossible to keep up with them. Things that occur from a business standpoint where perhaps a company that doesn't want to invest X number of dollars in a project because they're afraid it will be antiquated within, you know, 6 months or a year and all that money's down the drain. I mean, I can imagine how tough these decisions are. How do you vision Silicon Valley in, I don't know, 2, 5, 10 years? And I know they don't have a crystal ball there, but what kind of dramatic changes do you see happening?
Silicon Valley itself. I mean, do you mean specifically technology, like, you know, virtual reality?
I would say focus really on technology as opposed to the culture and behavior and subgroups. Yeah, I'd say more technology.
Right. I mean, obviously, my most recent experience has been on the social media side, right? Not things like, you know, hardware, space exploration. So, but I think, you know, the trend, the way I see Facebook, right? I mean, many people take social media different ways, and I had this sort of epiphany when I was writing the book in a tiny little island in northwestern Washington. And what I realized was that Facebook effectively recreates the dynamics of a small town in your pocket anywhere you go, unlimited by geography. What I mean by that is that, you know, the 150 so people, that what's called Dunbar's number of people you sort of care about, you know, their histories, you tune into their life every day, that no longer comes from being in a certain town, in a certain place or a certain workplace. It comes through your phone, mediated by things like Snapchat and Facebook. And I think that process of people's social fabric being sort of mediated by algorithms and computers and mobile apps will continue, right? And we even sort of have a broader impact. So, like, you know, why did Zuckerberg invest in VR? Well, I can't read his thoughts, obviously, but I suspect virtualizing or creating that sort of real seeming experience of you being close to something that we all have, right? Like, you feel like you're close to your Aunt Betty in Minnesota, even though you're 2,000 miles away because you know what she baked this morning. Like, that feeling of virtual closeness that's kind of real but not real, that will be made almost even more real with things like virtual reality, because you're not just going to get like a photo of Aunt Betty's cookies this morning. You know you're going to see them, hear them, see it in real time. You know, Facebook Live, for example, is a step in that direction, in which you sort of live stream a video of what you're seeing right this second on Facebook to all your followers. So I think you're going to continue to see your real social life being projected, you know, via computers or mobile phones in some way, which I think will be interesting. I mean, it's horrifying to some, and I think it's wonderful in other ways, but I think that's one thing we're really going to see in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, you happen to mention referring to Sheryl Sandberg, and of course, you talked about Mark Zuckerberg. Do you have a few things that perhaps you'd like to note about Sheryl Sandberg within the context of how it fits into the book? We've only got about a minute and a half left.
Yeah, sure. You know, I sort of like Sheryl. You know, in the book, I'm generally positive. She's very good at her job. She's very good at managing a complex organization with a lot of egos and getting them in the room and getting them sort of going in one direction. And she's also very good at being, you know, Zuck's sort of right-hand woman to help manage ads and sort of the more operational aspects of the company that Mark doesn't want to focus on. And so, you know, in that sense, I'm positive. You know, is she political as any sort of senior executive would be in a large company? I mean, of course she is. I never saw the sort of bad end of that. Other people have. You know, I think she's just, you know, she's very good at what she does, and I think people like working with her. I mean, the final scene in the book is actually a really uncomfortable meeting with Sheryl, in which they decided that the product I had built was going nowhere, which meant that, you know, basically my career at Facebook was going nowhere, even though it was actually successful. And, you know, I came out feeling like it was an okay decision, right, even though Sheryl had basically said no. So, you know, that's what she does. That's what she is.
All right, lots in here. I wish we had the time to cover it all, but there's an easy remedy for this, and it's for people to buy the book, Chaos Monkeys, Obscene Fortune and Random Failure in Silicon Valley, Antonio Garcia Martinez, and it's published by Harper. Thanks, Antonio. Enlightening. And I want to thank everyone for listening. See you back here tomorrow. This is Stu Taylor.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.